Blog Talk Radio. Kingdom greetings, and welcome to TDM, Tamaya Deliverance Ministries Sunday Fellowship. What an awesome time to be back in the midst again. I know we have been missing in action for a while, but I bless God for allowing us to come together today on this Palm Sunday. On the second day of Passover, and we'll talk about that another time, but I just welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior. And I also want to tell you we are in for a treat because we have an amazing speaker on today that truly is going to bless us in such an amazing way. And I want to introduce, God has just changed some things around. Usually we play a little song and when we open up in prayer, which I am going to do that, but we're not going to do the song, and we're just going to allow our speaker to have her way with us. I know that there is a word from the Lord for each and every one of us. I do want to thank God for those that are tuning in from overseas. I see you, and I bless God that Skype is working well. So I bless God for you. Before I introduce the speaker, let me just go ahead and pray. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We praise you. We magnify your name on today. Father, you said how excellent, how good it is when brothers can come together in fellowship, God. So, Father, we just thank you for everyone that is connecting, oh God, regardless of our denomination, regardless of our religious background. But, Father, you are drawing us to you with your spirit. And, Father, we ask that those that have an ear to hear what is being spoken on today. Father, I thank you right now, oh God, for the message that you have downloaded in the woman of God to share with us. Father, our heart is receptive to receive, hallelujah, what you have for us on today. And we will always give your name the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. Our speaker on today is none other than Elder Alondra P. Williams. She loves the Lord and loves lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. She is grateful to God for each opportunity he provides for her to share the truth of his word with others. Her ministry gifts and callings include teacher, intercessor, and exalter. She is the founder of Say So Ministries Incorporation, a teaching ministry that recognizes the power, authority, and victory given to us as believers through the ministries of praise, worship, prayer, and the Word of God. Say So Ministries is founded on Psalm 107:2 that says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." She is a native of Richmond, Virginia. She now resides in North Carolina with her husband of 33 years and the love of her life, Mr. Ricky T. Williams. I also want you to know that she is so passionate with everything that God gives her to do. I've met her in person on two occasions, and I'm telling you, the love that she has for God is the love that she radiates, emulates to each and every one. So I want you to sit back. I hope you have your notepad. I hope you have something to write with. And I want you to take in all the information that God has for us on today. And I said us because it includes me as well, because I'm going to sit back and relax and allow the woman of God to give it to us. And you know she's going to give it to us right. All right. Elder Williams, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Bless the name of the Lord. Glory God. Hallelujah. Good afternoon, everyone. I know it might be afternoon in some places, morning in other places, evening in other places. So I bring you greetings from Faithful Ministry. I am so, so grateful and so honored and humbled for this opportunity. I want to thank my friend and my sister in Christ, Apostle Siobhan Simmons, for graciously extending this invitation to me. I am just so honored. And I have to thank God for his divine setup. You know, time probably will not allow for me to, you know, God is funny. We know that God has a way of doing things, okay? So I'm just so grateful. I just thank God. So I'm here. Amen. To God be the glory. I like to give honor to him, for he is truly the head of my life. And I thank God that through his son, Jesus Christ, I have been saved, set free, sanctified, and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Come on now. I take nothing for granted. For each day that God gives each of us is a gift and a blessing. And I am just so grateful to share from my heart just some of what I believe God has shared with me from his. I am overwhelmed by his goodness. I am blessed by his grace, his loving kindness, and his unfailing love, not just toward me, but toward all his people. For John 3:16 says, come on, everybody knows that scripture. That's the first thing we share with someone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe would not perish but have everlasting life. So I believe, and I thank God, it's not just for you, it's not just for me, it's for the our next-door neighbors, it's for the guy on the street, it's for the young girl who's caught up in an illicit lifestyle. He gave his only begotten son so that we would have eternal life. To God be the glory. So today I want to share from a lesson entitled Lessons from the Pit. Oh, my goodness. Lessons from the Pit. Our foundational scripture comes from Judges chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. But the key verses in this passage of scripture will be verses 11 and 12. Now, I'm trying to slow down because I have a tendency to talk as I begin to talk, I start picking up speed, so I have to work on slowing down. Amen? So other supporting scriptures will be shared along the way, and I will be using both the King James Version and the New Living Translations of the Bible today. Amen. So let's just go ahead and read the scripture. I'm going to be reading from, this is from the New Living. So starting at verse 1, again the Israelites did what was evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites fled to the mountains where they made hiding places. Come on, hiding places, got to say that again, for themselves in caves and dens. whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel, camping in the land and destroying crops as far away as Gaza. They left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all the sheep, oxen, and donkeys. These enemy hordes coming with their cattle and tents as thick as locusts arrived on droves of camels too numerous to count. And they stayed until the land was stripped bare. I mean, they had nothing. Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. Verse 7, when they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. He said, this is what the Lord said. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of slavery in Egypt and rescued you from the Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. See, you had it better than this. I drove out your enemies and gave you their land. I told you, I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live. But you have not listened to me. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the oak tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, had been threshing wheat at the bottom of the winepress to hide. There's the word again. First they said they were hiding. Now it uses the root, hide. He was hiding the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord, verse 12, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero. In King James, it says, mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you. So there are so many nuggets in there. I could just stop and say so many different things, but maybe we'll be talking about a few of them as we go on. So you're probably wondering, what is a pit? Okay, so let's talk about what a pit is in the natural. The dictionary defines it as a large hole in the ground. It is further defined as, number one, a hollow or indentation in a surface. Number two, as a literary term, it's called hell. And that's a word all by itself, but we're not going to deal with that right now. And number three, a pit can be a low or wretched psychological state. For example, you could be spiraling down into a pit of despair. So let's look at some synonyms. They include hole, ditch, trench, trough, hollow, excavation, cavity, pothole. If you live in the city, you know about those potholes. Rut. Abyss, gulf, crater. And so it is in the natural, it is also in the spirit. So therefore, in spiritual terms, a pit is a place or places or moments or seasons in your life where God has stretched you the most to cause you to die. As you look back in retrospect, you recognize this was hell. It was or will be a time or season or moment in our walk with Christ where we will come to understand and experience the passing or the suffering of Christ in varying degrees. for Galatians 2:20 reminds us, Paul said there, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Nevertheless, I live, yet but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So let me break this down a little further, just a little further. Okay, so a pit, it is supposed to be a time for purging, emptying, revelation, remolding, reshaping, rebuilding, renewing. Renewing what? Glad you asked. Renewing your mind, renewing your heart, renewing your attitude, renewing your ways. It is a time of building godly, Christ-like behavior and character beyond the superficial, what I call Christianese. Hey, how you doing, sis? Blessed and highly favored. Hey, yeah, God is good. I'm highly favored before God and man. You know, all of that stuff that we've learned, clap one time, you know, raise your hand, if, you know, on the upbeat. You know, we've learned all of that in Christendom. But the pit goes beyond the superficial. It is a time when God absolutely sees you and forces you, or rather provides opportunities for you to truly see yourself too. It is meant to be a time of empowering, renewal, and above all, a time of growth. So let me break it down even more because we're talking about the pit. To put it simply, God gave me an acronym. It is designed by God to P, the peace in pit, be personal. It's designed to be personal because it is a time of season wherein all hell has seemed to have broken loose. And no matter what else is going on, no matter what you or me can see or cannot see, no matter what you or me can feel or cannot feel, we recognize that it's all about us, whether good, bad, or ugly, because Romans 8:28 tells us, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So that's the P. It's personal. The pit is designed to provide introspection. Introspection. Take a look at the inside of ourselves. There should be a lot of self-talk and time before the Lord to help you do these three things among other things. Still in the introspection. Let me give you three things when we're looking at ourselves. The first thing we need to do is repent, because often God will show us about us, those things that have been hindrances in our journey. He will reveal transgressions, iniquities, old emotional wounds, attitudes such as unforgiveness, anger, jealousy, envy, emotional and mental anguish and scars, and frustrations. Then some of us might be saying, I never thought about all of that. Yes, all of that. So these are frustrations. Sometimes these things have been masquerading in our lives as other things. For example, abandonment, rejection, our spirits that manifest in a variety of ways and can potentially wreak havoc in our relationships with others. they can masquerade as needing attention, acceptance, validation, and approval. They put a strain and place unrealistic expectation on others, in our families, in our personal and casual relationships, and yes, in our relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember, 1 John 1:9, because we're talking about repentance. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then that's number one. Still talking about introspection. You're going to do three things. It's designed to do three things. The I, introspection. Number two, renew. The pit is designed to renew us and to transform us once what has been hidden has been revealed. Because Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There is a perfect will of God. It's nothing like being right dead smack in the center of God's will. Number three, under introspection, refocus. The pit is where you can make the necessary changes needed to continue in the things of God with clarity, understanding, and wisdom. Because we know in all our getting, we are to get understanding. Because wisdom is what? Principal thing. And we can only get, we want the wisdom of God. We don't want just the knowledge that the world wants, can give us. We want godly counsel. When we're in the pit, when we don't know what's going on, we need to spend time with the Lord to and seek his face so that he can show us what it is that's been hidden. I believe, and God told me maybe a couple of years ago, once he exposes a thing, he does that so that he can then expel it. So Hebrews 12:2 reminds us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne. All of that was introspection. So the T in PIT, in our acronym for PIT, T stands for it will take time. I'll say that again. It will take time because the word tells us be anxious for nothing. We know that God's timing is not our time. God, I want this and God, I want that. Not time yet. God, you said this. God, you said that. It's not time yet. It is a God-designated season or moment. How long will your time be in the pit? Don't know. How long will my time be in the pit? Don't know. It will depend on how long it takes us to seek God's face, to come out of denial, and to recognize who we are and who we are not. And then, one, submit to God's will for you. Two, submit to God's ways. And three, submit to the healing, restorative power of God through his word. He wants us healed. He wants us whole. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. Okay, so while in the pit, it's going to be easy to become weary, discontent, frustrated and impatient. But remember, Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Not we might reap. Not we probably will reap. We shall reap if we faint not. There is a harvest that God has for me, and there's a harvest that God has for you, even if we can't see it yet. So I have some questions. I have one question here. What have been your pits? Because, see, the pits look different for different people. Maybe you've dealt with the pit of possessions. Maybe you've dealt with the pit of vanity or excessive pride or conceit, self-absorption, self-obsession. Maybe you dealt with the pit of greed or insecurity, anxiety, lack of confidence, low self-esteem, or comparison, competition, envy, all of these things are hindrances to our journey. So let's look at Judges 6. Let's go back and look at Gideon. Now, I want to say, Gideon and his story really means a lot to me, because when God called me, he used Gideon. I was like, excuse me, Lord. And because I already had two sisters that were in the ministry, praise the name of the Lord. And I was like, well, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You called my sisters, and they're going to do a mighty work. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He was like, excuse me, calling you too. So I was like Gideon. And periodically, God brings me back to Gideon. So every time I go through this passage, every time he gives me a word from this, it is just edifying and fortifying my spirit. I'm so grateful to God. So in Judges 6, we meet Gideon, a young man who is in a pit of his own choosing. Can I just add here that we can find ourselves in a pit for all kinds of reasons? I've already named some things, but there could be other things. And oftentimes these things have been with us for years and years. We just do the things we do because we do the things we do. We haven't even taken the time and haven't even figured out that there's a root there that God needs to purge out of us. So we all have that hidden place where we seek to hide from our enemies, or as, you know, we often say, that inner me. We seek to hide from the Midianites and allies who have been taunting us, abusing us, using us, misusing us. And just like the children of Israel in Gideon's time, some of what we may be experiencing is a result of our willful disobedience to God. Because in Judges 6, when I read the scripture, starting in Judges 6, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. Remember, everything that is God ordained will not be a walk in the park. It's not going to always be sunshine and roses and, I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. It's not going to always be peaches and cream. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not of God. Verse 11, then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree of Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press. to hide the grain from the Midianites. Now, I took some time to, you know, because I've heard so many times about the threshing floor, you know, and I knew I was going to, you know, God told me the pit, and I was like, Lord, okay, you know, help us out, you know. So I went and, you know, looked up the wine presses. What does a wine press look like? What did it look like in biblical times? Well, it was a pit. It looked like a pit. It was carved out from stone, carved out from rock, and oftentimes sunken in. He was down in the pit doing something that he should have been doing in the open. Now, I'm not a farmer. I don't know a lot about farming, harvesting crops, and all of that. But, you know, I did. Okay, Lord, help me out. Threshing the wheat. So wheat is threshed on a threshing floor, which was a flat, open area of land or ground, sometimes on the outskirts of the town or the city. But threshing is the process of separating the wheat from the chaff, and it required the use of the wind. As the wheat was beaten, it was lifted up to the wind so that the chaff or the unwanted parts could be extracted from the wheat or the good parts. The wine press of that day, like I have already said, were holes hewn out of rock and stone. So they were not necessarily visible. Again, he was hiding. So pictures, and I've said that already. So the Midianites had tortured them, tormented them. They were starving. They had no food. They had no flocks. Everything they did. Then the marauders, the people would come up and take, steal. Now, excuse me, these are children. These are God's people. What's going on with this? But it was because, as the prophet said, because they made some choices, God said, I brought you out of Egypt. Did you forget what I did for you? But you didn't do what I told you to do. And this is where you find yourself, in captivity again, being oppressed again. No, they were not slaves, but they were still oppressed. You might as well have been a slave. You couldn't do anything. So let's revisit Judges 6:2. The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. Sound like pits to me. Yet Gideon was innovative and determined enough to try to make a way out of no way. He was motivated by both fear and hunger. So verse 6, whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel, camping in the land and destroying crops as far as Gaza. So skipping down to verse 6, so Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. Again, we've already been through that. But, you know, when we put ourselves in these situations, we did all that we thought we were big enough to do. And now when it's not adding up, now when it's not what we thought it should be. Oh, now, God, I need you. When God was there all the time to direct us, that's a pit. So Gideon was desperate. When was the last time you felt desperate? Desperate enough to move on your own behalf and seek God's face for a change in your circumstances and your situation. That is the making of a pit experience. You know, the prodigal son came to himself. After he did all of that, just give me all of my money, Daddy. I'm going to go out here, and I don't need to be in here. But, you know, he got out there and wasn't ready to handle the things. And then he had to come back crawling back. He wasn't crawling physically, but in his heart, in his spirit, he was willing to be a servant because he had a pit experience. When he woke up and he looked around and he was eating with the hogs, oh, that was a pit experience. But he came to himself. So, you see, when we really get desperate enough to cry out, we will recognize that the pit can offer benefits. Help is on the way. But so that the pit experience has not been in vain, we may be able possibly to avoid the same pit the next time God will remind us of how we got to the pit. Yeah, I'm going to help you. I'm going to send the angels. I'm going to send a prophet first to remind you what you did, what you didn't do, what I told you to do, and how you disobeyed me. Now, I'm loving and I'm kind, and I will forgive you. I will send you, I will raise up yet another judge to help you all. But see, you can avoid this same pit. And if you know anything, and I'm sure you know anything about the book of Judges, you know, the children of Israel kept repeating over and over and over, and not just that book. They just kept, they do okay for a while, and then they fall back into something. Then they do okay for a while, then they fall back into something else. And God, with his loving kindness, the same loving kindness he has for us today, do okay for a while, then we fall back. Do okay for a while, then we fall back. God wants to raise us up out of that. Let's not keep going through the same pit. So we have to remember that we must die to ourselves. Have to. We must, there's no death. If there's no death to self, there's no life in Christ. Romans 12:1 exclaims, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Not your exemplary service, not your outstanding service, not your service above and beyond. You're reasonable. The least you can do, the least you can do is to present yourself as a living sacrifice. The least we can do is to present ourselves holy and acceptable to God. So suffering or the passion is part of the journey for every believer, and none of us are excluded. The passion of Christ is what we remember during this season. The dictionary defines passion as strong and barely controllable emotion or the suffering and death of Jesus. It comes from the Latin passio or peti, which means suffering or enduring. We remember his pit, talking about Jesus, his pit experiences as Resurrection Sunday approaches. Today, we celebrate Palm Sunday, a day that our Lord and Savior was celebrated and cheered as he entered Jerusalem on the colt that he had sent his disciples to get him, saying, Matthew 21, 2 and 3, second and third verse, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. You see, that donkey and colt were specifically and uniquely created by God for the purpose of traveling with Jesus into his destiny. Jesus has need of you and me as well. The pit will help bring his divine purpose and plan for each of us into focus and help carry us into our destinies. Ephesians 2:10, one of my favorite passages, favorite verses of scripture, for we are God's masterpiece. This is New Living Translation. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And King James Version, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained so that we can walk in them. Only a few days later, now this was Palm Sunday. Yay, Jesus, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord. A few days later at Calvary, Jesus died a horrible death for us through the crucifixion on the cross and at the hands of some of those same people who have been cheering his arrival on Sunday afternoon. Some of the same people that we thought would be with us as God began to speak into our lives, as God began to move us, as God began to grow us. Some of those same people that we thought would be there with us, that we thought would be there for us, those people are not. But glory to God, he got up. He suffered crucifixion. And we know he was resurrected on the third day. Hallelujah. Glory God. He rose again and is now sitting on the right hand of our Father in heaven. He rose with all power in his hand. And the same resurrection power he had then, he gave to us now. Death and resurrection happens over and over and over and over again in the life of the believer. So here are just a few takeaway lessons from the pit. Number one, please remember, the pit is my friend. We'll say that over again. The pit is my friend. Although it seems like death, I must learn to work with God's plan and not against it. God can use our insecurities, our anxieties, our fears to expose the bad and the ugly while revealing and nurturing the good in us. God is just so good. There is always purpose attached to the journey that I'm on, that each of us are on. My road may look similar to yours, but it has been hand-carved by God just for me. So don't compare. John 21:20-23, Peter turned around. Now, this is right after Jesus had talked to Peter. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Yes, God, I love you. Yeah. A half second later, Peter turned around and saw behind them the disciple Jesus loved, the one who had leaned over to Jesus during supper and asked, Lord, who will betray you? Peter asked Jesus, what about him, Lord? Jesus replied, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. So it doesn't matter what sister so-and-so is doing. It doesn't matter what brother so-and-so is doing. What did God tell you to do? What did God tell me to do? As for me, as for you, follow me. That's what Jesus is saying. We must stay submitted to God and committed to the work of the gospel of Christ that God has given each of us to do. 1 Corinthians 9:16 through 19, Paul says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. It has nothing to do with me. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. If this is what God has given me to do, this is what I have to do. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily then, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not the power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. I've got to do, you've got to do, we all have to do what God has given us to do. And that is not always easy to do. But we have to do it. We're not going to be liked sometimes. We're not going to be accepted sometimes. But as long as I am accepted, that's what the word says, I'm accepted in the beloved, I'm good. Here's a question. Ever feel like your gifts have been buried and cannot be retrieved? And this is just your one of my takeaways. Like a sunken treasure. Gideon, although hidden away from his enemies, the Midianites, and his gifts hidden even from him at that time, had a specific purpose, job, assignment in God that no one else was being called to do. His calling came at an unexpected time during a season of extreme difficulty and apparent lack in his physical situation. But in the eyes of God, Gideon was right where he needed to be so that God could use him and introduce him, Gideon, whose name means cutter or one who cuts to pieces. That's who he knew himself as. But the angel of the Lord introduced him to who he really was, Gideon, mighty man of valor. Who are you really? Who are you going to be? Who are you going into the pit as, and who will you come from the pit? Let me say that again. Who are you when you go in the pit, and who will you be when you come out the pit? See, because God doesn't bury gifts. He plants and sows them in fertile soil. He knows when the soil of our hearts and our minds are ready to bring forth fruit and when it would die on the vine from a lack of wisdom and understanding, frustration, impatience, and discontentment. John 12:24 tells us, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. We've got to die. You can't get around it. The flesh has to die. So Ephesians 4:16 says it like this, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. There is a part for you. There is a part for me. I can't do your part. You can't do my part. We are fitly joined together, joint supplying the needs of the other. God is interested, that was number one and number two. Number three, God is interested in me being better and not feeling better. Can't be about my feelings. And hey, honestly, been there, done that. I've had to do a whole bunch of stuff about my feelings. But God is not interested. When it comes time to do what he says to do, you got to put those feelings down and say, what did you say about this, Lord? Number four, this is our takeaways. You just might be in a season of dying to self. We die and are resurrected again and again and again, and long-suffering gets the job done. So remember, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, Colossians 3:12. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 11, 5, 5:3-11. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. If it was good enough for Jesus, it ought to be good enough for us. Let's not be running behind titles. Let's not be running behind position. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto even the death of the cross. I don't know anybody that would willingly suffer that torment that he went through. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee, every single knee, hallelujah, should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Satan and all his cronies, imps, demons, anything and everything has got to bow, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So I'm going to leave you with these questions to ponder. What has been my pit experience or experiences with the S? Because there are many pit experiences. Some of them we didn't even realize. But if we look back, you know, in retrospect, we realize, oh, there was a pit. How, and here's question number two, how did I handle it or how did I handle them? Remember, a lesson not learned is due to be repeated. Learn God's lessons from the pit while in the pit. There is much to be learned because God loves us so much. He absolutely is the author and the finisher of our faith. And I'm going to close with this scripture. Philippians 1:6 declares, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you and in me will perform it until the day of Christ, of Jesus Christ. He who has begun a good work in us is faithful. God is faithful to complete it. Learn to give him the glory in all that we go through. Count it all joy, for his mercy endures forever. And he gives us mercies, new mercies, every day. Glory to God. Those are just a few lessons that I've learned, that God has shared with me to share with you. Lessons from the pit. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you, Elder Williams. Oh, my gosh. I have, four pages of notes, and I know there is more. I know I missed some things because I was just so taken aback with everything that you have shared. And I thank God for the blog talk, because you can always go back and re-listen to this. And I challenge each and every one to go back, because there was so much that was shared, so much that God wanted us to get and to glean from the woman of God. And to be honest with you, I've never heard the pit taught in such a way, you know. And I can just go on and on and on. But I thank God for your obedience. You know, I'm going to be looking over this later on and looking and listening to the message again, because it is so much for us to get from the lesson from the pit. And I love what you said, and I'm just going to share this little learn the lesson from the pit while in the pit and stop trying to get out the pit. We need to be there, all of us, me included. No one is exempt when God gives a word. God bless you so much, and I thank God. And I'm going to, you know, when you're ready to give us more about the Western Pit, just let me know, and we, you know, we inviting you back. I'm just telling you that right now. We are inviting you back. I'm going to open the line for the prayer request. I do have some already. Thank you guys for typing it in on Skype. I'm going to open the line if anyone has a prayer request. If you don't mind, just go ahead and give in your prayer request. Okay, Elder Williams, here are the prayer requests that we have from Skype and also the one from another social media that I have. Someone is asking for prayer for depression. Someone else is asking for God's guidance, praying for directions in a situation. Someone else is asking for prayer that their faith increases, healing of the mind. Oh, and God bless you. And healing, not healing, strength while in the pit. Praise God. Any other prayer requests? All right, Elder, if you can pray over those requests for us, please.
Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we do bless you. Father, we praise you. We give your name the glory and the honor. We thank you, Lord God, because you are worthy to be praised. Lord God, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, great are you, Lord, and greatly to be praised. We will bless your name at all times, and your praise will be continual in our mouths. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, because you are our healer. Father, you can heal us of anything and everything. So, Father, we come against that spirit of depression, that spirit of oppression, Lord God, because depression comes and sits, Lord God, like a weight on our minds, like a weight on our bodies, like a weight, Lord God, on our spirit. The devil is a liar. He's a defeated foe in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, we bind that spirit, Lord God. Father, we pray peace, Lord God. Give understanding, Lord God, and cast out those things that are not of you, Lord God. Father, we come against anxiety, Lord God, and frustration, Lord God, that hooks itself up with depression. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you are bigger. You are greater than that. Father, we pray for guidance and direction, Lord God. Father, lead us and guide us into all truth. We thank you, Lord God, that you have promised that, Father, that you direct the path, Lord God, that if we lean not to our own understanding, if we acknowledge you, Lord God, you will direct us. You said in your word that the steps of a righteous man or woman are ordered of you. So we thank you, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you can show each of us what to do, when to do it, where to do it, who to do it with, and why. Sometimes you tell us why. You don't always tell us why. But, Father, should you choose to tell us why, you will even tell us why we're doing it. And so, Father, we thank you. Father, build us up in our most holy faith. We thank you for the increase in faith. Faith, Lord God, that is the substance of things hoped for. Faith, Lord God, that is the evidence of things not seen. Faith, Lord God, that is as small as a seed of mustard, but, Lord God, that can move mountains. Build us up. Cause the faith, Lord God, in the individual, in each of us to continue to grow and to increase, Lord God, moment by moment, bit by bit, day by day, hour by hour. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, you have promised us in your word that you have given us a sound mind. So we thank you, Lord God, that you are healing our mind. You are healing our thoughts, Lord God. You said that we can take every thought under captivity. So, Father, we take that, Lord God. We bind the hand of the enemy. Those thoughts, he's always trying to come against us, Lord God. The battlefield of our mind, Lord God, is a tremendous battle. But you are greater than that. You can conquer it all. So we thank you, Lord God, that you said we can cast out every imagination, every high thing, everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. And so we thank you that our minds are healed, our minds are whole. You said that we are to think on those things that are true, those things that are honest, those things that are just, those things that are pure, those things that are lovely, those things are of good report and have virtue and are praiseworthy. We cast out doubt. We cast out fear. We cast out anxiety. We cast out low self-esteem and lack of confidence. We cast out anything and everything that exalts itself against who we are in you. And so, Father, we thank you that you will give us strength, because you said in our weakness, your strength is made perfect. We thank you that your grace is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient, Lord God, as we go through the pit, as we go into pits, while we're in the pit, and as we come out of the pit. We're going to be stronger than ever. We're going to be bolder than ever, because you said, Lord God, that we can come boldly to your throne of grace. Not because of anything we have done, but because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Lord God, that nothing will be in vain, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that we will not grow weary in well-doing, Lord God. We will not give up, Lord God. We will continue, Lord God, even when we're at our weakest point, Lord God. We don't need to be strong, because the battle is not ours, it's yours. All we've got to do is roll it over to you. You said, Lord God, that we can cast every care, Lord God, unto you, because you care for us. So we thank you, Lord God. We touch and agree for every situation, and we know it's done because you said, Lord God, that effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Where two or three are gathered as to touch and agree, there you are in the midst. One can set 1,000 a flight. Two can set 10,000 a flight. There's no telling how many, Lord God. We may be setting hundreds of thousands to flight right now, because there's power in unity. There's power, Lord God, in agreement. So we thank you, we bless you, we praise you, we exalt you, and we magnify you. Jesus is Lord. We seal it with the blood of the Lamb. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Amen.
Father God, we lift Elder before you right now, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the word that she has shared with us on today. Father God, we ask that you would meet every need, oh God. Father, we ask right now, oh God, that you will continue, God, to blow a fresh wind upon her, God, that you will continue, Lord God, my senator, God, that you would continue, oh God, giving her fresh revelation, God, fresh understanding, oh God. Father, we thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. She dives deeper into your word, oh God, that Father, that you would give her a fresh revelation every time, oh God. Father, we thank you right now, God, for everything that you're doing in her life, God. And we thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That Father, whatever she stands in need of, oh God, hallelujah, God, that you will release it unto her, oh God. We just thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord God, for this fellowship, God. We thank you for each and every one, oh God, that did not take it, hallelujah, but come together, oh God, so that we can fellowship with one another and glean from one another, oh God. You said iron sharpens iron, oh God. So thank you, Lord God, that you have sharpened us, oh God, that you have revealed to us, oh God, hallelujah, God, things that we need to get done and straight in our lives. Father, we will forever praise you, glorify your name, and magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We ask that if you're not busy next Sunday, and it is Easter for some, Resurrection Sunday for others, Passover for others, I think it's like the 8th or 9th day or the 8th day of Passover, come back and join us. There is a word from the Lord for you. Have an awesome day in the Lord. Enjoy this week. This is Holy Week, but we know every week is a holy week, a week that we reverence God. And we will for always praise his name. Go knowing that with Jesus, nothing is impossible. And be content in the pit. God bless you all. Eldon, you got the final word.
God bless you, and I thank you all. I'm just grateful to God. I pray that something I said, something that God shared through me, made an impact. And I love you with the love of Christ. Thank you so much again, Apostle Siobhan. You know I love you.
My sis,
thank
my
you all,
sis, you know it's the same. It's the same. God bless you.
God bless you.
All right, you guys.
Bye-bye.